Let's play some cards.
From Harrah's St. Louis Casino and Hotel, this is The Final Table, starring Team Poker Stars pro Dennis Phillips with Paul Harris. Brought to you by Poker Stars and the Poker Players Alliance.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
You got no.
Now, from the Harrah's St. Louis Poker Room, here are Dennis and Paul on 590 The Fan, KFNS.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
And normally, at this point, I would welcome you to Table 2 of Harrah's St. Louis, our regular home for the final table. I can't do that because neither Dennis nor I are there today. Dennis is still traveling. Last week, he was in Rosario, Argentina, playing in the Latin American Poker Tour finale. And today, he is flying some 24 hours to get to London in time for the European Poker Tour London event, which starts tomorrow. He'll tell you about those adventures on next week's show. I have been traveling to Florida to check out the cash games, which changed on July 1st when they took off the ridiculous $100 buy-in cap. The action is supposedly fantastic, and I'll tell you if it was good for me and what the scene is like when I return for next week's show. And since we're not here, we're going to play for you two of our favorite and most popular interviews of the year. Each of these interviews is among the most downloaded podcasts in the history of The Final Table via iTunes or on Dennis's website, thechipleader.com. Up first, you'll hear Jennifer Harmon, participant in the big game at Bobby's Room, who gives us some insider information on that, and a two-time bracelet winner herself. Then 10-time bracelet winner Johnny Chan, who was going for number 11 at the main event of this year's World Series of Poker when we spoke to him back in July. He'll, by the way, be on ESPN's coverage of Day 6 tonight, and I'll tell you that that doesn't go well for Johnny. But when we talked to him, he was in a great mood, and you'll hear that interview later on this hour. Our show, as always, is brought to you by PokerStars.net, the world's largest poker site, the site where you can win free roll tournaments and end up traveling the world to big events just like Dennis Phillips. To do that, go to PokerStars.net, download the software, and then look for the free rolls for the European Poker Tour, the Latin American Poker Tour, the Asia Pacific Poker Tour, and of course, the North American Poker Tour, which will be playing an event in November at the Bicycle Club in Los Angeles. You can get details on all of those things by going to PokerStars.net and also look for how you can end up on TV on the big game with a $100,000 cash game stake against five big-name pros. That's PokerStars.net, where you can find the poker star in you. Now, two of our favorite interviews of the year on The Final Table.
Our guest today is Jennifer Harmon. She is the only woman to win two bracelets in open events at the WSOP. She won her first in the Deuce to Seven No Limit Low Ball event in 2000 and the 5K Limit Hold'em in 2002. She's cashed in 24 different WSOP events. She's made two final tables on the WPT, and she's a regular in the biggest cash game in the world in Bobby's Room at the Bellagio. Jennifer, welcome to the final table.
Hey, thanks. How is everybody?
We're great.
Fighting some allergies and colds in the Midwest, but that's only happens 12 months of the year, so no problem there.
Jennifer, what is a throwdown?
A throwdown, it's a charity. It's my charity event for the National Kidney Foundation, and basically all different casinos are bringing teams to play in the charity event. So if a team wins, you know, they get rewarded. So basically that's what it is. It's teams competing against each other. It's kind of fun. It's kind of a good concept, especially for a charity event. Brings a lot of excitement to everything.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. The other thing I want to ask you right off the top is the World Series of Poker Tournament of Champions, which unfortunately Dennis, since he didn't win a bracelet,
is not
eligible for. But since you've got a couple, you're eligible. And I checked the website this morning, and they've got the top 50 listed there, and you are among the top 50 vote getters. The public is choosing them. I'm not sure when the voting ends, but are you campaigning to get into that Tournament of Champions?
I'm actually begging.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll go on and vote for you, no doubt about that.
I actually went on Twitter and asked people to vote for me, Facebook asked people to vote for me. You know, it's a big deal. They're, you know, it's giving away $1 million, and I think it's, you know, it would be fun to play, and I would really like to get in. So, yeah, I guess I'm campaigning.
You should be, and you should be one of the 50 that are in there. There's no doubt about that. There's a handful of women that have done extremely well, and you're right at the top of the list there on that. I tell you, one thing that impressed me, you were a co-author there with that Super System 2 with Doyle. That had to be quite the thing to be in with those guys and adding to that book. How did you get asked into it? I mean, I know you play with him in Bobby's room and that. And what did you think about? How do you decide what to write? I mean, somebody approached me, it'd be like, wow, what do I put down here to go with Doyle's book?
Well, I walked up to the game. It was actually at Binion's. And I was getting ready to take my seat, and Doyle said, I want to ask you something. I said, yeah, go ahead. And he said, I want you to write a chapter for me in my new super system. I said, wow.
Yeah.
I said, really? And I asked him what he wants me to write it on, and he says, it doesn't matter. You choose. So I chose Limit Hold'em because I feel that's the game at the time where I had the most experience.
Uh-huh.
And he said, yeah, that's fine. I'd love for you to do Limit Hold'em. And how I wrote it, it's hard for me to write how I play. So it actually took me a while because I have to think of certain scenarios and how I would play them and then put it down on paper. And actually, it wasn't that easy for me to write it. But I just, I thought of past experiences in my head and thought about different situations. And I have put a ton of hours into Limit Hold'em. So, it took probably, 3 or 4 months to write that chapter.
Wow.
Do you think you're better at Limit than No Limit?
I'm definitely better at Limit than No Limit, all Limit games. No Limit, I don't feel that I've had enough experience to, get out there and say, that I'm a great player at No Limit Hold'em. Mm-hmm. I just feel that in order to become really good or really, or even great at a certain poker game, you have to put in a lot of table hours. And I haven't in No Limit Hold'em. So, I feel that with No Limit Hold'em, my reading ability is a lot less than in Limit games. And that gives me a basic idea, what games I'm good at, what games I'm not.
I love to hear this. Daniel was saying one time about how he's not up to snuff right now because he hasn't been playing regular in Bobby's room, and he would actually be the underdog playing with the group of guys there in the high-stakes poker, and then you're being very, down to earth on this. You're one of the better players. There's no doubt about that. But the ability to realize your own limits and that maybe you need to touch up or play a little more in something, wow, that just speaks for what the pro you are.
And does that keep you out of more tournaments, Jen?
Well, my kids keep me out of tournaments, basically.
I love it.
they're little. They're 3 years old, and I really don't want to miss a second with them because they're so much fun. And, I know there'll come a time where my kids won't want to be around me, but while they want to be around me, I want to be around them. I just have so much fun with them that I feel poker and tournaments will always be around, and I can always, travel to tournaments when they get a little older. But right now I'm enjoying myself hanging out with my kids.
Good for you. That's great to be grounded in that and to have that perspective on it. So since you do stay home, I know Vegas being your home, that means you spend a lot of nights at Bobby's room. Everybody's always curious about the big game, so we got to quiz you about a couple of things here. I'm curious about how the food is.
Whoa, where'd that come from?
We order out, different restaurants at the Bellagio, so they bring the food in, and that's where we eat. So we order from Prime, we order from Circo, we order from, actually, somebody ordered from Le Cirque the other day.
Uh-huh.
The sushi restaurant, we order from Fix, so, all of them.
Hey, Paul, I got to admit, if you're more interested in the food, Jennifer probably wants you at the table.
Well, Jennifer wants me at the table. Jennifer wants a lot of people at the table. Yeah. How often does somebody who's an outsider actually come and sit down in the game, Jen?
Not very often. Once in a while, you'll probably get it maybe 2 or 3 times a year. It used to be more,
but
now it's not very often. But usually, somebody will come in who's not really good at all the games and is trying to learn them, and they're actually really good at one game, and they'll come in and sit down at the game. And,
oh, wow.
They're lesser of a player until they start, getting better, and then they're no longer considered a draw to the game.
If somebody came in there and said, look, I really am only good at one game, can I play that with you? Would the group say okay, or would you insist on having a mixed game format?
I mean, if it's somebody we know that's, you know, that's really good at that game, then no, he doesn't get his way.
But a whale comes and sits down and says, I'm a multimillionaire, I don't play a lot of poker, but I just want to see if I can play with you guys. Anything he wants, right?
Of course. Of course. And that's happened before. I mean, people have come in who said they only want to play No Limit Hold'em, and we've changed the game to No Limit Hold'em.
But what do you normally play? What's in the mix there?
Lately, we actually, you know, the game has been pretty scarce lately, but lately, or a couple weeks ago, we played for about 10 days, and we had, I think we had 12 games in the mix, maybe more.
Wow. I'd heard 8 and 10 out there, but 12 or more?
Yeah, I think, you know, we had the No Limit Hold'em in, the PLO in, and the Deuce to Seven No Limit. And then we had almost every limit game available. We had Deuce to Seven Raz, we had Badoogie, we had regular Raz, Hilo regular, you know, then the horse games, triple draws. We had a lot of games in there.
Wow, everything but Chinese.
Yeah, no, Chinese was in there, too.
Oh, no.
If it was five-handed or less, Chinese got played. If it was more than five players, then Chinese got thrown out.
Do all of the players, yourself included, have one of those games that you're great at compared to the other ones, and maybe one game that you think, oh no, this round I hate this game. I'm not playing a lot of hands on this game. Can you do that?
You know, I guess there's bathroom breaks. But, you know,
might be a little conspicuous after a while.
If you miss the same game twice, I think, you know, people in the game start teasing you.
Yeah.
And they make you feel bad, so they make you have to sit down and play that game. But when you played mixed games for so long, it's really hard to say that anybody's really, really good at one game. You just know which games you're not that good at. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So those are the games you really need to focus on and work hard at getting better at, or the games you're not very good at.
Well, is there anybody that you've played with before that you'd love to have back there, like an Andy Beal or somebody like that, maybe, that you'd love to see come back in there and play, that was excitement and all that jazz?
I mean,
Andy, for sure there was excitement. You know, I'd love to see him back. I mean, it was just, the whole thing was really exciting.
Yeah. For our listeners who don't know the story, Andy Beal is a billionaire Texas banker who went to Las Vegas to play against the best of the best, Jen Harmon and Doyle Brunson, Todd Brunson, Barry Greenstein. The list was about a dozen players long. Howard Lederer was in there. And he wanted to play you guys heads up in limit poker. And I think it was limit hold'em predominantly. And you guys had a few sessions against him, and he wanted to play so high that it kind of made you guys nervous. Wasn't that his concept?
It was his concept, to make us, you know, very uncomfortable at the table, so we couldn't really play, you know, poker to you know, at our best. Which is a good point, because when you play with scared money, you can't win.
Mm-hmm. So he wanted to do to you what you guys do to other people at times.
Right. So he, you know, it was a good idea on his part. But you know, when Andy first came in, he was very new to poker. So, you know, it didn't matter what levels we played. You know, it wasn't really that intimidating. But he got better and better and better. Andy's a very, very brilliant man. Very intelligent, very smart. Knows what he wants. Gets it done. He's you know, he got so much better by playing us, you know, unbelievably better. So towards the end, it actually got a lot. It got a lot harder for us to beat him. Hmm. And there were a couple times that he actually beat us.
What limits did he push you to?
1 in 200,000.
Oh my gosh!
1 in 200,000 limit. You know,
I don't care.
I say that because we have listeners who only play no limit and think to themselves, okay. You know, that would be. Nobody has
phenomenal
a bankroll to play 100 and 200,000 no limit, but even 100, 200,000 limit is tremendously high. Were you nervous at those levels, Jen?
How could you not be?
Maybe for the first 5 minutes, you're a little nervous. I mean, you feel like you need to call on the end, but wow, it's $200,000. Maybe he has you, but you know, maybe he's bluffing and you have ace high. You know, and that's a lot of money. Throw $200,000 into the pot on one card. But I'll give you, you know, an example how big that game was is you could lose, you could win and lose $6 million. So that's a $12 million swing in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's how big that game is.
That,
playing heads up.
Yeah, that's a sizable game.
Yeah. When is Andy coming back? Have there been discussions?
I don't think Andy, you know, he came back in January, this January, and called me at 12:30 in the morning and wanted to play poker.
And
he said, you know, I know you can get a game, let's get a game. But it wasn't that easy because a lot of people are out of town these days, and I tried to call around. Nobody would answer their phone. They were either sleeping or gone. And I ended up getting a game, but it was me, Eli, Lezra, and Andy. And we played smaller levels. We played 2 and 4,000. And we played around 9 hours. But, you know, somebody asked him if he's thinking about coming back, and he said he was just way too busy right now to even you know, think about the thought of coming back. So, we'll see.
Does he only play limit hold'em?
He does. He only plays limit hold'em for now. He said, you know, that he's been playing a little bit of Pot Limit Omaha that he likes.
Oh, my gosh. Him and Pot Limit?
Oh,
that could be scary.
We could get some big games.
Oh,
I might have to be out. I might not be able to afford PLO at 1 in 200,000.
Yeah, no kidding.
During one of the sessions a few years ago, you played when you were very, very sick with your kidney problem, right?
I did. That's when I played the 1 in 200,000 game.
Yeah. How sick were you?
Very sick. I was pretty close to kidney failure, and I actually also had the flu that weekend.
Mm.
So I was, you know, between kidney failure and the flu, and my blood pressure was running about, at times, 240 over 140.
Oh,
like skyrocketed. And, you know, I was a pretty sick cookie. And my transplant was a week away.
Yeah.
So that's how, you know, if you think about it, that's how sick I was.
How can you concentrate at the table in those physical conditions?
It wasn't easy. And, you know, thank God I only played for like 45 minutes.
Oh.
Because he actually had a plane to catch. So I only had to play him for 45 minutes. But playing him for 45 minutes in that condition I was in, when I got up from the table, I almost collapsed.
Wow. You've got some amazing stories here and everything like that, experiences, I mean, with Andy Beal, the rest of it. When are you going to sit down and actually write a book about that? Not necessarily about poker. I want to hear the more about Jennifer.
I'm thinking about it. I might be, you know, I might be close. I'm thinking about it. But, you know, I just feel like I'm a poker player.
Well, yeah, I know you are, but you have so many other life experiences here wrapped around poker.
That's true.
That, you know, nobody else has ever experienced. Being able to sit in that Bobby's room with that caliber of guys, with you know your relationship you had with like Chip Reese and Andy Beal, and my gosh, it's just it's amazing. I'd love to read it.
Me too.
So
well, I'll think about it. You know, it might be in the workings. You know, we'll see.
Yeah. Since Dennis mentioned Chip Reese, tell us a little bit about him.
Chip was, you know, he was the best player in the world when he was playing. He was amazing. I never saw Chip's A game go to a B, a C, a D, or an F. He was so emotionally stable to play poker. You know, I've never seen anybody have the same characteristics that he does when it comes to not showing any emotion and not letting poker affect you. I think the worst his game ever got was an A-. He was amazing at all the games. He was just a great player, and he had a great attitude with poker and a great mind for poker and also for backgammon, for gin, you know, not just poker.
Why would you want to play poker with somebody that good?
Well, it's a great learning experience. That's for sure.
Yeah, well.
You know, he was, you know, I wouldn't sit down and play Chip Reese heads up. That's for sure. But, you know, it's not only him in the game.
Mm-hmm.
There's other players in the game, too.
Is there anybody else other than Chip that you wouldn't want to play heads up?
Many. Phil Ivey.
Okay.
David Benjamin. David Oppenheim. Well, Daniel, of course, because, you know, we're too good of friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Patrick Antonius.
Mm-hmm.
Jess Hansen. There's many.
That's a nice list.
That's a heck of a list.
Yeah, no kidding.
Jen, it's been a couple of years since you appeared on High Stakes Poker. Are you planning on going back anytime soon?
I think so. Last year, the game was pretty tough. Pretty tough lineup, and I don't think anybody knows this about me, but the only time I've ever played No Limit Cash that's not been part of the mix in Bobby's room is on High Stakes Poker.
Really?
So that's about all the experience I've had at playing cash games, No Limit Cash games, is the hours I put on High Stakes Poker.
Wow.
I did not know that.
Do you watch the show?
I do. You can learn a lot by watching.
Yeah. Do you think that the lineup on there has gotten too tough? Dennis just had an experience. He's been on there the last 3 weeks, and he had the wonderful experience of not only looking across at Mr. Ivy, but on his left to Mr. Dwan, and at the other end was Mr. Antonius, and on and on and on.
And Daniel and Barry, but we won't name any others. I had
what
the easy
lineup. What were you doing
lineup.
In that game?
Sweating.
I wouldn't be in that game.
I was sweating is what I was doing in that game.
Yeah, that's a tough lineup, and, that's one of the reasons, I chose not to play, because it's pretty big stakes, and you could, lose a lot of money playing those games, especially against people that are way more superior at No Limit Hold'em than you are.
Really a pleasure having you at the final table. We look forward to doing it again with you sometime soon.
Yeah, anytime.
All right,
give me a
care.
Call. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
That's Jennifer Harmon appearing here at the final table in April of this year. With Team PokerStars Pro Dennis Phillips, I am Paul Harris. We'll be right back with 10-time bracelet winner Johnny Chan. A reminder about the final table merchandise that you can find online. Go to Dennis's website, thechipleader.com, the same place where you can download the podcast of this show. Go there and find out how to get the sweatshirt you need in those cold poker rooms you play in. We've also got T-shirts and pretty cool hats. All of them right there on thechipleader.com. Click the shop button and pick up your final table merchandise. We're right back with more of the show on 590 of the Fan KFNS and KFNS.com after this.
From Harrah's St. Louis, it's a special World Series of Poker edition of the Final Table with Team Poker Stars Pro Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Welcome back to the Final Table. Paul Harris with Team Poker Stars Pro Dennis Phillips and one of the legends of poker, a man who is in the Poker Hall of Fame, 10-time bracelet owner, 2-time world champion, Johnny Chan. You got a smile on your face every time I say something like that.
I tell you what, it's just so excited to just listen to you, Paul. I mean, the way you present of me, it's great.
Well, thank you. And thank you for coming up here. And I know you two guys have known each other for a little while, right?
We've known him for a little bit. I've respected him for years, obviously, because not only are you a great poker player, but everybody that knows you knows what a great person you are on top of that. So it just
thank
makes
you,
it
Dennis.
So easy to talk to you.
Absolutely. I'm a pleasure to be here.
Johnny, what's different about being in the World Series of Poker in 2010 compared to being in all those years before?
Well, I tell you what, last year I didn't even last the first day, so this year is a little different. I first 30 minutes, I had pocket tens and under the gun, and a guy first position raised a pot. And the other guy with pocket eights call, and flop comes jack, 8-10. I lit at the pot. The guy raised the pot, folded, and the guy with 3-8 raised me. I said, wow, this is going to be all right.
I love it.
I said, this is going to be all right. So I re-raised him a little bit, just put a little teaser in there. Next thing he thinks, he moved on in. I beat him to the pot, I call it, and we turn our hands over. He had 3-8 and I had 3-10, and comes a queen and a king, and I double up right away. And after that, I just play a lot of pots and raise a lot of hands and start winning. Every hour, my chips just keep growing.
Johnny's one of those few people that are so dangerous when they have average chips or lower and are a monster when they get the chips.
Thank you, Dennis.
You don't want to be at their table, that's for sure.
How is it when you sit down at a table and look at those faces, particularly if you don't know anybody at the table? Do you see them react saying, oh, my God, it's Johnny Chan?
Well, Paul, my table yesterday, I didn't know any of those players. I never played one hand of poker. I may have been playing poker before. Poker for 30 years. I didn't play one hand of poker with those 9 players.
Yep.
I said, man, I don't know how they play, how good they are, or how loose they are. I'm just sit there and just wait and finally pick a pocket pair. I had to play that. So fortunately, flop a set, and it was okay. After I doubled up, I started, test the water and keep raising the pots, and they just keep calling, and then I bet on the flop, they fold. They keep doing that for about 8 hours, and
you end up with over 100K.
Exactly, 163,000, so I'm very happy.
And when you're sitting with a table full of strangers like that who you've never played a single hand with before, how long does it take you to get a read on the table?
You know, Paul, there's 9 players, so it takes at least 3-4 hours, because a lot of players didn't play a lot of hands because they're nursing their chips because they scare. So I really don't know how they play. I'm still eventually they start crack up. They start making plays and this and that, and I catch a couple guys trying to bluff me, and that was all right too.
I mean, totally different than what it was. I met you in 08, actually, when we got played down. You ran a deep run there in the main event of 08. We were actually a table apart, and you were nice enough to talk to me and sign my hat and everything that day, so it was great. I find out now, because it's totally different, when they recognize me, they do one of two extremes. Either they won't even play a hand with me, hardly. They're just thrown away where you can't get any money from them at all. Or they get over-aggressive because they're afraid I'm going to outplay them after the flop, so they just make massive bets to try and keep me out of it. I get both extremes, which neither one are good to play with. I don't know, what do you run into?
I run into player just try to just bully me. I mean, with nothing. I mean, they just want, you know what? They just want to beat a hand. They just want to beat Johnny Chance, so they can show their hands of bluff. I got a 7 of deuce. Ha ha ha. I get 8 and a 3. Ha ha ha. You know, but it's good for poker. So, but every now and then they're gonna run into the nuts. They say, oh. What did I do now?
Do you blame the movie
Sorry
Rounders?
About that.
Do you blame the movie Rounders for that? That they all want to be Matt Damon?
I know. No, that was a good movie. I think that's the best motion picture poker movie they ever make.
Yep.
You know, every now and then they double race me, and I say, "What do you have?" John, I don't remember. That's okay. That's good. I remember the line, too.
Yeah. But the ones who are trying to do that, are they part of this new generation of younger players who are three betting a lot more? Because there was a time, I'm sure, when you were playing in the World Series in the late 80s, if somebody three bet pre-flop, they usually had something.
I was talking to Doyle just a couple nights ago. We were playing a cash game at the Bellagio. We were playing 2 and 4,000. I say, Doyle, the player's entire different nowadays, you know? In the old days, when I raised, somebody re-raised, somebody move on in, they usually have the aces. But nowadays, I raise, re-raise, they liable to have a jack and a four or anything. So I don't know. I mean, it's a new generation of poker, to put it this way.
Yeah.
I mean, internet has just changed poker another chapter.
Yeah. We had Barry Greenstein on the show. At the beginning of the World Series of Poker, and he said something that really surprised me, and I think Dennis was surprised by this too. He said he's in his 50s now. We're all in our 50s, so we could talk like this.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. He said he's in his 50s now, and he feels like he's past his prime. You know, he says guys like Tom Dwan are coming into their prime, but Barry says mentally he's past his prime and sees poker really changing to a point where he has to struggle to keep up. What do you say?
Well, I think Barry's been playing too much poker. I mean, just look at Doyle. Doyle's the most – I think he's the best 74, 76-year-old poker player I ever play with. Problem of Barry is he played too many tournaments. He's kind of burned now. You know, after you play every day, you don't make a big score. Every day you got to give the house $5,000, $10,000, $2,000. That money adds up. And Tom been winning a lot of money online. He's got, I don't know, $5-10 million. So he can play a little faster, play a little loose. If I lose this one, if I lose this tournament, I can get on the next one. I play the same way because, you know, when I was young, of course, you know, Dennis, we're fearless. I mean,
yeah, no kidding.
We don't know better. We don't know any better. You gave me an ace and a deuce, man. I thought this was great. I'm ready to go.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I agree. You get compliments all the time, and you earn them. Don't worry about that. I heard one down at the Golden Nugget the other day. John, the poker manager, said that you played down there in a doubles tournament where you team up with a different person at different levels.
Yeah, it's about I guess about a month and a half ago, yeah.
I'm not that familiar with it.
Exactly.
Team Poker, which sounded actually interesting. But he said you got matched up with a semi-pro, and they had you guys mic'd, and this guy came walking up to you, and you asked him, you know, just trying nice and, well, how do you want to play this level? And the guy looked at you and said, "You're Johnny Chan. You tell me how to play this level."
Is that true?
This random drawing, I pick a partner, I don't know. I never play a hand of poker with him. I said, he's like 20-some-odd years old.
Yeah.
I said, "How you feel?" I said, "You feel good." "How do you want to play this?" "I don't know. You tell me."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Okay, all you got to do is I play the hands you don't want to play, and you just don't go crazy."
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we won the first four matches. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, we beat everybody.
Now, what was the format of doubles poker? How does that play?
Two player play one hand. First, the guy look at it before the flop, and after the flop, you give the cards to your partner,
mm-hmm.
and my partner play. I can't say nothing.
Uh-huh.
When I play, he can't say anything.
Uh-huh.
So it's very interesting. Only match I lost, I played five matches, I recall. I won all four matches, and my last partner was Gus Hansen. Gus didn't have a chance. He was out of the tournament. He didn't care.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, that was very interesting. Anytime he's in the pot, somebody raise, he's all in.
Uh-huh.
They fold it. He's, because he got nothing to lose, none to gain. So he just keep pounding. Just watch Gus playing his wildest card. It's unbelievable.
So you mean Gus could start out, and he would look at the cards.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have any clue what it is. And he could, you know, three-bet it, whatever. And he gets called, and then the flop comes, and he hands the cards to you.
Yeah, and I look at it, wow, 7-4. What the hell's going on here? $16,000. I wouldn't pay 2 cents for that card, but that's Gus's Gus, you know. my hair just stand up. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. That I mean, it's going to be on TV. It's going to be on Poker After Dark, I think.
Okay, cool.
Going to be a good show.
That sounds like a lot of fun. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I could just, right now, I'm rapidly running through some of the different pros and the possible matches. You know, put Annette and Doyle together, maybe, or something like that. You and Gus, that had to be a heck of a pair up there. I could just imagine some, get Phil and Mike the Mouth together.
Oh my God, they would never stop talking. I don't even know who's going to play the hand.
Do you like being at a table with guys who are talking a lot, or do you like a quiet table?
Oh, I love those guys talk. I mean, you know, I've been in five Poker After Darks, play against the best player in the world, Mike DeMau, Phil Hellman, Daniel. They all love to talk. I'm sitting there and listen. Every now and then I go there and steal their money, and they say, "What happened to that, my chips?" They keep talking. Every now and then I go, "Get a little more money."
Yeah.
And suddenly the table's all quiet. How come Johnny got all the chips? Where is my chips win? And also about about 1.5 we played the World Team Poker. I don't know if you heard of that.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Team USA, Team China, Team Australia, Team London, Team Israel, Team Greece, Team Vietnam. And Team China won that tournament also.
Oh, so sweet.
So it's going to be air on Fox probably middle of August. So watch it.
You know, there were speaking of Team China, there was a wave of players like you who came from China and Vietnam. A lot of Asian players came to the U.S. around the time you came, and in the two decades following it. Now we're seeing an enormous influx of Europeans. And do they play the game differently than you guys did, or are they helping to change poker?
They play total different style. The European plays a little faster than the U.S. player, to be honest with you. They play a lot of Omaha. We play a lot of Hold'em. So right now we play mixed, half Hold'em, half Omaha. So that's exciting. And during that tournament at World Team Poker, we play three games. Limit Hold'em, Pot Limit Omaha, and No Limit Hold'em. So, the lineup was phenomenal. You got the best of the best, and Team China won it, so I'm very excited.
Sweet.
Poker legend Johnny Chan here at the final table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris. Our show brought to you by Harrah's St. Louis, the place to play poker. If you're a tournament player, you got 14 tournaments a week. That's two a day, ranging from $40 all the way up to their monthly $310 buy-in tournament. If you're a slot player, you've got hundreds of choices here, and all your favorite table games as well.
And if you're just looking for a place to have dinner, well, you got Charlie Gito's for Italian. You've got the Range for a steakhouse. You've got the Eat Up Buffet with those $24.99 snow crab leg dinners on Thursday night and Friday night, all you can eat. And the eight different kinds of chicken dinner that you can have on Wednesday nights for $16.99. There's also Club Aroma. There's the Grill 21. There's so many places for you to eat here. And come have a great time. Plus, check out the concerts that go on Fridays and Saturdays in the Voodoo Lounge. One destination, one casino you need to know in St. Louis. It's Harrah's St. Louis. For details, go to their website, harrahsstlewis.com. We're back in a moment with more of Johnny Chan on the final table on 590 of the Fan KFNS and KFNS.com, and our podcast available on thechipleader.com. This is the Final Table, the weekly poker show with Team Poker Stars Pro Dennis Phillips. I am Paul Harris. This portion of our show brought to you by the Poker Players Alliance, the group that fights for poker players like you and for me. We hear all the time about home games being busted up by the cops. We hear all the time about states trying to regulate their own poker and maybe doing online poker on a state-by-state basis, which we think would be a horrible mistake. We're trying to get changes made in courthouses and state houses and the Congress of the United States so the government gets out of the pockets and the games that we are all involved in. If you want to become a member of the Poker Players Alliance, it couldn't be easier. Go online to theppa.org, theppa.org. That's the Poker Players Alliance. And for less than a buy-in of a small tournament, for just $20, you can be a premium member. You can also download the PPA iPhone app for just 99 cents and contribute that way. The Poker Players Alliance, theppa.org. Now back to one of our favorite and most downloaded podcasts of the year, our interview during the World Series main event with 10-time bracelet winner Johnny Chan.
You and Phil and Doyle have more bracelets than anybody else. I mean, like Eric's got eight, and I think Phil Ivey just got eight, so they're still behind you a little bit. I mean, is there a little rivalry or a little friendly joking? Are you coming up behind Phil and saying, I'm right behind you? You know,
Dennis, you brought up a good point. This year I only played like two tournaments.
Uh-huh.
I didn't care for the bracelet. I think I'm holding the record that nobody's going to break because I'm winning back-to-back
with the main event
and runner-up in the third year. So once I got that record, I'm not going to try to chase the bracelet record because – the bracelet records, over the next 5-10 years, somebody's gonna have 12. The other guy gonna have 13, 14. You know, gonna have to race. I'm not into that bracelet thing. So, doesn't matter to me.
But while we're speaking about bracelets, I do have to ask you about Phil Ivey, who got his eighth one this year and says that he thinks he can, in his career, win 30. Possible? The guy's only 33 years old.
Well, they put those. There's six. Was that 56 or 60 tournaments a year?
Yeah, there's about 60 tournaments a year.
And there's also another World Series in London.
Right.
There's 100 tournaments. So out of 100, if you 1%, if you win one tournament a year.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. He's what's that? 30 years old.
33 yeah. now.
33.
So he'd be Doyle's age.
It is possible.
Yeah.
It is possible. But one time he hit 50 like us, I mean, he's going to slow down a lot.
So you then agree with Barry that once you get into the year 50s, you slow down.
Your body just tired. You can't just sit there and just have no patience. Like yesterday, I played till about 9 o'clock, I'm falling asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Because my body just not there, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you should have had some more All-In Energy drink at that point, shouldn't you?
I drank enough, but my guy was out for dinner, so next time make sure you stand by. Yeah, good point. I need some more energy drinks.
Sure. Yeah,
we made a reference. The All-In Energy drink is a drink that Johnny is part owner of and promoter of, and I actually drank it. I drank it myself in 08 and 09, and I've got some at the table with me again here in 10. So it works.
And you've kind of reintroduced it now? You're relaunching the brand? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, relaunched the brand. Our company went public. It's KORE. It's over-the-counter stock right now. So we hired a new CEO, and also a new chief financial officer. So we restructured the company, and then we're going to open all West Coast. Like, we try to go into Costco's and Walmart's and all the major stores.
Great.
So hopefully that's going to happen. And also Asia, Taiwan, China, Vietnam, Thailand. Our products under the FDA approval. So once that approved, we're going to be all over China and Asia. That's just going to be a home run.
Now, I got to ask you about a story that I heard back in 08. That was the year you launched it, right, here at the World Series 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I was playing in the cash games because I don't play in the main event, but I was sweating Dennis and a bunch of other friends who were playing in it. And I heard this story. You tell me if you've heard it too, that somewhere in the main event, somebody was at a table a couple of hours in, a waitress came over to take an order, asked the guy what he wanted. He said, all in. Another player at the table said, call. And they made him put his chips in.
Oh, my God.
Did you hear that story?
I did not hear that story at all.
If it's not true, it should be a commercial anyway.
That's a good point.
It's actually not bad.
That's a good point.
And the guy, by the way, who said all in the story, won the hand.
Oh, nuts. I was going to say, I'll be the guy that calls him at the table. But not if I lose.
There's a justice there, you know? That's good, yeah. Good story. I like that one, Paul.
Do you still have the orange? Is that still part of the Johnny Chan folklore?
Trademark? I always got the orange. Probably I'm going to use that on the final table this year.
Ah, excellent.
Speaking of final tables, when you got to the end of the Tournament of Champions this year, you were down to the final three. It was you, Howard Lederer, Huck Seed. Huck ended up heads up with Howard and took it. Tell us about that experience of not just playing with those three, but all of these great players from recent poker history.
You know, the Tournament Champion is a great tournament because you play against the best of the best, which I've been playing poker with them for the last, 20, 30 years. I know how they play, so that's why I get so far in that tournament, because I know how they play.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good structure. Down to three-handed, it was just – we only had so total we got 810,000 in chips. We end up playing 2,008 and 16,000 blind. We just didn't have enough chips to play. I mean, we're playing showdown. That's all that is.
Right.
So one hand up – Huck had pocket seven. I had king and a queen with the button. So, I raised a little bit. He called. Flop comes 9-7 queen. Oh, 9-7 king. What are you going to do with that? I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
The money's going in.
Yeah, the money's going in, baby.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
You've got like 70 caches. You've won 13 different tournaments. I know I may have the years wrong, but I think it was 88 you won, and 87 you won, 88 you won, and 89 you came in second.
Right, is that correct?
On it. So those had to be memorable. Since then, in the last 20 years, with all those massive changes, such as, is there any particular tournament or any particular win you're really proud of or was just really exciting?
Wow. Good question. Actually, 91 I was in the final table in the
main
event.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, That's an unbelievable
run. When Hamid Dashmashi won that tournament, I was on the final table. That was a weird final table because one of the hands was so unbelievable. I had pocket queens, and the blind was very high. I don't know what it was, maybe 2 and 4,000. I was right under the gun. I had pocket queens. Hamid had pocket kings. And the big blind come back with pocket aces.
At a final table?
Final table.
Oh my gosh.
Raise.
Yeah.
Hami re-raise. And the two aces go all in. Of course, I fold it.
Yeah.
And Hami just think. And the guy named Mike something, I don't know. He's like, don't call. I gonna show it to you. I got it. I got two aces. And Hami thought long time. He threw it away. He turned over two aces, of course. But they changed the rule. You cannot talk.
Right.
That guy, if I had two aces, I said, please call.
Yeah, no kidding.
That guy just so nervous. He just won the pot.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, you were talking before about how you don't think anybody will ever break your record of back-to-back wins, then second the next year, and then a couple years later making yet another final table. We're talking about an era when how many people were in tournaments that when you won it?
I think it's between the 87 is 167, and then 88 is like 200 and change. 90 is like 200, 300,000.
But at that time, you're talking about pretty much all quality players. It was not
the best of the best. There's no online money. There's no dead money.
No donkey minefields to get through, right? You were playing against all good players. Now you play in the main event. We were talking when you first sat down here about sitting with nine guys you never saw, you never heard of, you never knew anything about them. That's got to be maybe tougher now, not just because of the size of the field, but because of the quality of play being all over the place.
Exactly. It's so tough. I mean, you know, it's just tough. But anyway, yeah, like you said, Paul, I don't think my record's ever going to be broken, so I'm going to happy with that.
there's no way in the world anybody will ever break that record, period.
Thank
That's
you.
Done.
Thank you, Dennis.
That is totally unbelievable if somebody could do it in the first place. So, yeah, it's safe.
Tell us a little bit. Our listeners are always curious about Bobby's room. Tell us about what it's like in there, the games you play, who is usually sitting at the table, et cetera.
Bobby's room, every year during the World Series, there's only two tables, two poker tables, of course, and also there's one little dining table. You can sit down, relax, and eat dinner. It's very private. We play 2,000 and 4,000 up to 4,000 and 8,000 mixed games. And, you know, you name it, the players say, okay, I decide I want to play that game. And the other player, okay, I agree, I like to play that game. So we put, like, the player's choice, we put all the games together, we play. Playing 2,000 and 4,000 or 4,000 and 8,000.
Limit.
Mostly limit. A lot of limit game. But the other table mostly play pot limit Omaha, which is you're playing with people from Europe, like Zikman, Antonio, Patrick Antonio, Sam Fahar, Tom Duran. I mean, you name it, the best Omaha players going to play on the other table. Mm-hmm. The table that I play in, which is Doyle Brunson, Jennifer Harmon, Eli, David Benchman.
Barry might be in there.
Barry Johnson.
Does Daniel play in there anymore? Much?
Daniel, I think Daniel's record in there is not that good. I haven't seen Daniel for a while. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, so you're playing mixed games and maybe 6 or 8 game mix?
At least 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jennifer in her interview said sometimes you go all the way up to even 12 games.
We'll play the game, any game. I mean, we'll play low limit, hold'em, pot limit, Omaha, limit, Omaha, Omaha, high, low, split, static or better, 7-card stud, Raz, triple draw, deuce to 7, triple draw, ace to 5. You play Raz, deuce to 7. You play Producey. I mean, you name it, we play it.
And is it dealer's choice, so the game is changing in each hand, or do you play a round?
Paul, no, we play every 8 hand, we change the game. We have a plat, we change the game every 8 hands.
Uh-huh.
The dealer's changed it.
And are the pots capped? Is the game capped?
We play the pot limit or no limit. Normally we cap it at 75,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which means that each player can put in no more than 75K.
Or you cannot lose more than 75,000.
Yeah. Okay.
Correct.
And how much money is on the table?
Oh, my Lord. I would say between at least $1 million on the table. Last year is unbelievable. Last year was, I see, like $5-6 million on the table.
Wow.
That's cash, yeah.
Wow. How long do you play for a session? I mean, you talked before about how you can't go 9 hours without getting tired. You can't possibly play limits like that for that long, can you?
Well, one thing about playing cash games, you can quit anytime you want. I mean,
sure.
you sit down, you win a couple $100,000, say, okay, have a nice day. I go upstairs and take a nap and come back. The game's always going to be there. So you don't have to play that long.
I'm really curious about this because I know listeners have. People always ask me about
Paul, this. Paul, sounds like you want to get in the game. So.
Johnny, I would sit down in that game never under any circumstances. I wouldn't even sweat that game from outside the room. Are you kidding me?
Oh, it's exciting. When you see $1 million.
Yeah.
but I'm curious about when the game starts. Does somebody call somebody else up and say, okay, we're coming down and we're going to start at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock? Or...
Yeah, well, normally we text everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody just shows up. And
whoever shows. Not everybody. Sometimes they show up. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes I'm in the tournament. Sometimes I got to go do things, you know.
And are
but
you
normally, like today, we were supposed to start game at 2:30 because Dennis, I told Dennis I would be here. So I'm going to say, hey, listen, I got to take care of business first, so I'm play poker later. So.
We appreciate that.
Very much so.
Are you all secretly hoping that some whale is going to come into town and try to take on you and the rest of the big guys?
Every now and then that happens.
Actually, Doyle said the other day it happens fewer and fewer anymore, but he says every now and then you get the right guy in there.
Exactly. I mean, you never know who's going to walk in that door.
Yeah.
And these guys, let me tell you, they'll open the door for anybody. You got the best of the best playing in there. Who would they be afraid of? There is nobody.
That's right.
The door is open. If you have $1 million and you want to go lose it, go to Bobby's room. Johnny will greet you at the door.
You know, we've been there for that place opened since '98, and we're there almost every day. I mean, whenever the action is.
Now, what about Phil Ivey has a room over at Aria that they're going to try to move some high stakes games to? What's happening with that?
You know, I never play a hand of poker there, so I can't tell you, Paul.
Yeah. Okay.
I think they're going to have a hard time making a go of it there. I think the guys will stay over there.
I think if you told a lot of people that Phil Ivey was going to be playing somewhere, a lot of players would say, I'll be somewhere else.
I'll be at the Bellagio. That's why we hit the Bellagio.
What's in the future for Johnny Chan then? What are you going to, are you got some ambition, something especially you want to do?
Well, I just bought a nightclub here in town, 10,000 square feet. It's going to name number 8, Club 18, right on Spring Mountain and Jones. Every now and then I finish poker, we take the guys, go in there, go sing along. It's called a karaoke place. And we have nice foods and a little slot machine and a little dancing floor. So
cool. I will check it out.
All right.
Great.
That's good.
And as the year goes by and the World Series is behind you, what does the rest of 2010 and into 2011 hold for you? Do you play a lot of tournaments now, or are you just hanging around waiting for a game in Bobby's room?
You know, like this year, I didn't play any tournament. I played one tournament. I played the Deuce of Seven tournament. It was so boring. The structure was so bad. I didn't enjoy that, so I said, I'm not going to play anymore. So then of course, I had the free roll of the tournament champion. And then the main event, you got to play that. I mean, it's so much overlay. So, I enjoy playing in Bobby's room.
Yeah. But most of the year, you're not traveling to play tournaments anymore? You don't do that?
I go to Macau every now and then. They got some good poker game over there. Good no limit poker game. Yeah.
Okay.
New money, new players, new face. So I don't have to look at Doyle every day.
Well, they've got Florida just opened up. They got rid of their $100 limit, and it's opening it up. I was talking to the grinder and some of the guys who can't wait to get back down there. They said there's going to be some great games breaking out.
Everybody's telling me that. So maybe next place I'm going to go to Florida.
Yeah, that's what I wonder.
The beach? Well, what can't go wrong? The only thing is the hurricane. I don't know about that one.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Should be some good games. There's always some place else. There's always something new happening in poker.
That's right.
New hot spot.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's awesome. I love this game.
Yeah.
All right.
Johnny, we really appreciate you coming on the show. We wanted to talk to you for a long time, and it's really been a pleasure sitting here and spending some time with you.
You know, Dennis, Paul, my pleasure to be here, and I'll probably be back. And before the final table, I hope I can do one more interview with you guys. Okay?
That sounds
We'd
good.
Love to do that.
And check for all-in energy drinks at the stores and everything that's coming out. I can recommend it.
There you go.
Thank you.
Poker Hall of Famer Johnny Chan, who joined us in July while playing the main event of the 2010 World Series of Poker. I'm Paul Harris. I'll be back next week with Team Poker Stars pro Dennis Phillips. He'll have stories from Europe and Latin America. I'll have stories from Florida. And Annie Duke will join us as well, all at the final table. Podcasts on thechipleader.com. Broadcasts every Tuesday at 3 from Harris, St. Louis on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.